Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
And a rush for the middle of the end zone. The pass is caught for the touchdown. And the catch made by Allen Robinson.
Looking to the end zone. Pass thrown. Over the middle. Caught. They're fighting for the ball.
The ball was simultaneously caught by the offense and defense. Therefore, by rule,
yes,
it's a touchdown.
Touchdown, Bears! And it's Allen Robinson. Outlet pass to Miller. Right side. Hits the gas at the five. Spins into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Trubisky and the keeper left at the 15. Inside cut at the 10. Five! End zone! Touchdown, Bears! Mitchell Trubisky with six more. And the Bears explode to a 30-14 lead.
A bat flip by Tariq Cohen. A knee by Trubisky. Bears go to 7-6. They've come back from a rough stretch and are becoming pertinent in December.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
It is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. We are Bernstein and McKnight, and today it's Patrick Manley at 10, it's Rich Campbell at 11, and this period of time where our lives so based around these sort of lodestones that are Bears games.
Yes.
Now we've had consecutive Thursdays for the first time in my memory, and it's made things really, really weird.
I don't know what day it is.
No.
I know that we are built Ford Tough. On this day, whatever day it is, we are built very Ford Tough.
312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, the Score. We're taking calls from Bob's today. You can email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext, because it's Friday, on a Monday on a Friday, at 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Jesper Horsted. Jesper
Horsted.
So, Ken Mastrolli Award winner, Jesper Horsted. How about that?
Balling. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can stream the Score on your mobile devices when you download the radio.com app and interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We have Mike Chen sitting in the EP seat. We have Rick Camp sitting in the Rick Camp seat. And who's in the back doing what someone does?
Technically Mike Chen. Shane Reardon will get here when he gets here.
Ah, so when Shane gets here, then Mike goes back
there
to the,
when we
the
get there.
Executioner's seat. Okay, that
yeah,
makes sense.
That's what we're doing.
And we're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Look, let me give you a little Mitch by the numbers here.
Please.
So let's run down exactly what he did. It was 23 completions in his 31 attempts.
Yeah.
244 yards, 3 touchdowns, 63 rushing yards, and a touchdown. Now, thanks to statistical analyst Jeff Farrer, who often sends stuff, he's a good Twitter follow as well.
Yeah, he is.
He notes that Mitchell Trubisky is the first Bears quarterback ever with at least 200 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 50 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown in a single game.
He's also 70% of his passes on 30-plus yep. attempts. He was terrific.
No Bears quarterback has ever had a game like that. And he is the first Bears quarterback. And yes, this is damning with faint praise when I start doing this. It's all it's a low bar.
Yeah, but we've been doing this for 20 years.
Right. The history of Bears quarterbacking, you got to do it anyway. He is the first Bears quarterback with at least 47 passing touchdowns in his first 3 seasons total. That's kind of a low number.
Yeah.
Ew.
Go Bears. Right? Yeah, but it's true.
The hell with it, man.
It's true.
You saw the game that everyone had wanted to see last night. That's what everyone had asked for.
But except opening night.
That's yes, of course. The when, which is the how, and also the people or something. Nice job, Paige. you, of course, the when is the issue. Mm-hmm. But that is the game that every single Bears fan, every Mitch detractor, every Mitch supporter are together in what they wanted to see. They saw it last night. That's the type of game from the Bears offense that you'd been waiting to see all season long.
This hour is brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car, search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental difference. Let's talk about what we talk about when we talk about Mitch in that regard. With apologies to Raymond Carver. When something like this happens, and when we discuss his performance,
yep,
let's be honest again about the context. This was, when we started the year, and when he started his career, really, we said to him on these airwaves, you realize, dude, if you're bad, everybody's fired.
Yeah, no pressure, well, right?
And he kind of said, no pressure, right? So with the context of what, it's not just him. It's all that is connected to him. Matt Nagy's connected to him, whether he wants to be or not. He wanted to be a head coach in the league, and he came with it. Mm-hmm. This guy came with it. Ryan Pace, his reputation, that trade, that whole spazzing out to deal up for him when he didn't have to.
Right.
He did that. Everything that's, when he performs like this, it resonates more deeply. And I don't know if it's too little, too late or what. I'm not going to say. But the truth is, so much is connected to him.
See, I have no idea if it's too little, too late. That depends on Mitch. The fact that it took this long and so much work and so much paring down of a playbook and altering and changing and fixing and lineup adjustments, all this stuff, it took all of that to get to this point isn't good. It just isn't. I mean, it's like everybody texting in and saying Mitch has arrived, or everybody who had never left Ten's side and said, nah, this is the guy, you can't let him go, and he's going to be fine, and the offensive line is bad, and they don't have a run game, and Anthony Miller's not in the right spot, and Taylor Gabriel's dropping passes, all of that stuff. Everybody who stood for that still cannot throw out the underwater games Mitch has had. You cannot throw out the bad throws. You can't throw out the interception from last night. You can't throw out some of the decisions that he's made all season long.
How about the non-benching?
That you can't throw that out either. That it took all of that to get to here, for Matt Nagy to let go of the things that he would just not let go of in the playbook, to get him rolling out on the move, throwing from different launch points, all this stuff. It's immovable. It is part of the story here. The fact that that coaching staff has gotten to a point where they're able to call a game like they did last night is impressive as hell. And what I've been saying for weeks now is that what's left on the table here is for Matt Nagy and the rest of that offensive coaching staff to reclaim their reputation as coaches that can adjust in this league, can make a difference in this league, and can succeed even when your best players are either not playing well, aren't even on the field, or aren't doing what you thought they could do in the first place. That's an impressive gig. And if you finish that out the rest of the way, wins or losses, if you run up against a better Green Bay team, a better Kansas City team, but execute a plan like this, then you got a lot more hope for this Bears team going into next season because of what these coaches are able to do with the talent they've got.
I want to get back to another McKnight theory and revisit it in the wake of this performance, because you have said, and you declared this 3-4 weeks ago, right before this stretch of some of these low rent games against bad teams, you said that the way the rest of the season could matter would be how Trubisky defines the level of his competition for next year.
Yeah,
I don't think we're talking about a rekindling of possibility for the fifth year option, right?
I don't think so.
Are we not there yet?
I don't think so, but I can see it from here.
Okay, you can see a $24 million commitment.
Only because, well, remember, when we talk,
I think it's done.
When we talk about the fifth
year
option,
you think they're going to really?
Hold on.
Yes,
we're gonna
done in that picked up. Done as picked up.
Correct.
When we talk about this fifth year option for $24 million, remember that is only guaranteed for injury. If he gets hurt, you got to pay him. If you offer that $24 million fifth-year option, it's 24 and change,
Yeah, I think it's like early May, so right after the draft that you have to still have him on the roster.
You can essentially rescind, cut, you know, move, and not suffer a massive cap hit in that $24 million category unless he gets hurt and then you're booked into it. So that's what it is. That said, I think you can see it from here. You would say no, and Rick says it's done. And the fact that we got those three different opinions on where Mitch is at right now means that the first couple of weeks of this season wasn't all that great.
But you said that he would define his competition. He may be now at the point where whoever you sign is more of an upgraded backup, somebody you could turn to. How did Robert Mays put it? Somebody that if you had to, you would feel more comfortable turning to. Someone clearly better and more viable than Chase Daniel.
Someone who can make a play as opposed to just exist in the offense.
Right. But maybe what Trubisky's doing is holding off a serious challenge to his job.
I think so. You know, so much of that depends
on
how...
For better or for worse. And maybe you're mad about that. You're like, damn it. I wish Mitch would have fallen on his face, then he could have had a better quarterback and maybe been a more competitive team next year with a great defense.
You could have gotten your $17 million guy. You could have made a more reasoned play for a guy like Cam Newton or, and I know it's not all that sexy, but Andy Dalton or something like that at the price tags they're going to come with. Right now, though, no, I don't think because of the office politics and because of the way Mitch has played the last 5 weeks, the way his coaches are talking about him adjusting, playing, and keeping things strong. Hell, listen, that's two straight weeks now. And granted, that Detroit defense is god-awful, but two straight weeks where he makes an inexplicably bad throw, a classic Mitch interception, just that classic, where the hell are you going with that football? Then rebounds, and rebounds big. Rebounds to the point where he takes control of the game for a little bit against the sixth or seventh-ranked defense in the NFL. That's impressive to me. It really is.
For the first time in a while, you can say the Bears won a game because of him.
I think that's part of it. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I thought the decisions he made last night, I was watching the football after show with Lawrence and the guys, the area that Lance Briggs credited Mitch with for the best part of his night was his decision-making. And I think that's right. I think that's what I saw too. There's a couple of razor's edge throws. The one he fits in between
to Allen Robinson.
Man.
The one he sort of kind of cradled it in there. Yeah.
Man, that's a, oh boy. Yeah. I don't, on other nights, maybe that gets tipped or maybe even picked off, but he had the guts.
That was a Brett Favre throw.
He had the stones to throw it.
That was a Brett Favre completion where you think it's intercepted and then you say, how did he possibly see that?
Yes. Right. Gets that throw. Yep. But having the stones to throw that means, there's a lot to that, but the decision-making process is huge. There's one on a sprint out right to go pick up a third down and he hits Holtz. Trubisky sprints out right, makes the defender commit, or waits, rather, until the defender commits. I think it was a slot corner or lined up, in the linebacker blitz spot. Makes him commit and then swings it out to the flat, and it's an easy pickup of a third down because Mitch waited to the point he was supposed to wait to make that throw. And that's as easy as that throw looks. It's much harder than it is because of the way he's moving, the direction that Holtz is moving. It's much more like the first baseman hitting the pitcher going to the mound. Yeah. That is a tough throw. It looks easy, but he made it.
I sat with an offensive coach one time, and this is one of these things where you're eating and moving the salt and pepper shakers around, and he kept saying the limiting factor in the screen game is the quarterback. He said you can't run a screen pass with just any quarterback. He said so much of it is positioning and timing and an awareness and a fearlessness to be able to wait long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that if you don't have that in your quarterback, you even if it's blocked up just right to a fast and shifty guy, he said what ruins screen passes more than anything else is a scared quarterback getting rid of it too early, not trusting the play, because it's scary. Those guys are coming free and you are running for your life, and they're got blood in the water, ears pinned back.
Oh, God, yeah.
And you've got to be able to just time it up. And that happened as soon as I saw, as I realized what was going on. My only worry was illegal blocker downfield.
Sure.
Because what happens is
all the time,
the guys tend to leak because they're like, oh, they get excited and it's not college. And they some guys who, especially younger guys who are used to the college rules, don't understand, I got to wait. But if you're disciplined in that, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's impressive to watch his, I don't know, patience and confidence at the same time when you rewatch the game. I watched as much of it as I could before we came in here and had the 8 o'clock meeting for, you know, a second time. And it's just, there was a process that Mitch was willing to go through, you know, his own process, whether it was taking off and running. He is just, that offense just works so much better when he's willing to run. It just does. And whether that's because, you know, you don't have some playmakers at the tight end position, you know, I'm talking all season long, that's kind of kept him bottled up or maybe allowed defenses to read him a little bit differently or treat him a little bit differently. He's played bad, which doesn't help either. But when he's multiple like that, there are more things to account for. I think you also got to give credit in this win against the Cowboys to what Anthony Miller has done the last couple of weeks. Because I don't know, you know, if he doesn't step up and have big-time games the last 2-3 weeks, I don't know that the Cowboys pay as much attention to him as they did, and I don't know that that then leaves Holtz and Horsted as available to make plays as they were. You know what I mean? Attention shifts right to that other receiver. You got two tight ends that were on couches weeks ago.
It's football, man. That's this game that we're talking about, yep, though. That's every game. Sometimes a little thing that happens early changes the way everybody looks at it, especially if the coach on the other side starts to think differently about what he's doing. Like, he forgot Kevin Tolliver was out there, just as we talked about in transition yesterday.
Yeah.
Just as we talked about. Sometimes coaches just forget.
And on the flip side, what did the Bears do down in the end zone late in the first half? They found Jalen Hurts, and they went after him. And then they went after him again.
They did it all game.
All game.
That was what they were targeting, like the touchdown to Miller.
All
that was what that was.
Game
that was
long.
Lock the guys on the outside, make Jalen Smith, who's fast, but you know, make him beat Anthony Miller to the corner.
Yep.
That's not gonna happen.
No, I got the heart eyes emoji for that game plan.
Yeah, that's a plan. That's
beautiful.
That's a plan. That's being aware of the game in front of you.
They actually tried to expose their linebackers because, you know, Leighton Vander Esch was hurt.
Didn't play.
And Sean Lee is half dead. Like, he used to be able
to do, for 4 years.
Able to do that stuff, but yeah, Now he's just dead.
This segment's brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Help spread the warmth. Join Burlington's annual coat drive through January 20th. Donate a coat at any Burlington store. No, why does it say Chicago Wolves? To help your neighbors in need. As thanks, receive 10% off your purchase. Find your store at burlington.com. My guess would be the segment is brought to you by Burlington.
Well, you're holding the paper, so yes, You get to make the decision on that. When we come back, I guess I do. When we come back, shall we open the phone lines?
I think we should.
I think it's about that time. It's a Built for Tough Bears Monday on a Friday. Your phone calls when we come back, plus Patrick Manley at 10 o'clock. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Did it feel like a break?
No, we're almost there. We got to keep getting better. Like, at the end of the game, I feel like we can close it out as an offense, stay on the field, and just finish the game. So I thought defense played outstanding. We had a great game with field position, so special teams had a huge part in that. And then we just took advantage of our opportunities and played smart on offense and went on and scored points.
Big day for Forky. He got it done. He held off the memes for a while.
I did.
I sent the one out after the pick in the end zone. But you know, in truth, you know what that really did? I mean, you didn't score, but...
Wait, hold on. We're just doing that?
Hear me out on this.
Sure, hear me out. It's not a touchdown.
No, hear me out on this. It was awful. But you pinned them there and then and change the field position game, right?
It's a punt pick. It's the old punt pick.
You don't want it, and I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world to pin them back.
Sure, it does. Sure. Normally the punt, though, the arm punt is at least like 40 yards downfield.
Right.
Like,
correct. Right. It's getting rid of it.
Correct. But a team on their own one is in a disadvantageous position on which you're allowed to capitalize.
I don't know that a red zone pick is an arm pick.
It's arm punt, you mean?
Yeah, an arm punt. Yeah, an arm punt or a punt pick.
I don't know, but it definitely had a field positional effect, if nothing else, in the silver lining of that horrible
dark cloud.
So at
least there's that.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves?
I do.
$5,000 signing bonus. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for details. Then visit the Sprint store in Arlington Heights between 1 and 3 p.m. December 14th for your chance to win. You said calls.
Yes.
We got calls. Jake in Lake Geneva is on the score. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, boy. I think it's more of a perfect storm type of environment. I mean, with Jerry Jones shooting off his mouth for the past couple of weeks saying how they had to do this and do that, I think Jerry kind of took it upon himself. Just based upon how the sideline and the players were interacting and looking. I mean, they were yelling and bitching at one another, and everything was nasty, and they weren't getting along, and you just tell. And then the fact that I think, I mean, it's just not a fact, but I think that letting Trubisky run, that's Jerry's thing. I think Jerry said, hey, look, we're going to let Trubisky beat us. Well, you know what? Trubisky played the game of his life, and when he's left open to run, he is capable of running, and he can run the ball, and that's why I think everything worked out. That's my take, and go Bears.
All right. Fair take.
All right, then.
What did Rick say?
Go Bears!
What did Rick say in the group text about how the Cowboys looked on the sideline after the Bears went up?
Yeah, I wish I remember who tweeted it, but it was their 9-3 roster with 3-9 coaching.
Yeah, that'd be your tweet. You said like the look in there, their body language, it looks like Jim Boylan was talking to them.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Looks like the Cowboys are about to run an ATO for the Bulls.
Western Springs, this is Bill on the store. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Fine.
A couple things that I saw last night that really impressed me were twice I saw Miller and Robinson break off their route when Mitch started to scramble and found the open spot. One of them was that pass where he threaded the needle through about six guys and somehow it made it through to Miller. But I was really impressed with that because it just –
That was Robinson. I think the one you're talking about was Allen. The one you're talking about was Allen Robinson.
Not the end zone.
There was one.
Oh, that was Allen Robinson. Yeah. You're right. But that just impressed me that they're obviously of such one mind that they broke off the route as soon as they saw him scrambling. They found the spot. And he got it to him. And I think that makes their offense a little bit different than what it's been all season because he hasn't scrambled and they haven't I haven't watched them. I always watch to see if they break off routes. I didn't see it like I saw last night. I mean, that was a team that was really playing as a team.
Well, any competent offense has to have scramble rules.
Yeah, we talked about that during the low point for the Bears, too. And even the first two games as they kind of got things back in the right direction. I mean, this was... We'd asked a couple of times on Matt Nagy's Monday presser, like, is anyone, do you have scramble rules? Like, do they apply? Do you have any of them? Are those up on the whiteboard? Because that had been a real area of concern with the wide receivers as Mitch was kind of getting loose in a pocket when pressure would come around. It was really nice to see those guys work back toward the quarterback and present themselves as targets.
We're grabbing calls on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday, brought to you by local Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com. And all I was thinking after that game went final was where we're going to be a week from now.
Oh,
that what it means that we can continue to have the flickering flame of hope at the 5% possibility of making the playoffs. I performed hundreds of thousands of simulated seasons last night to just confirm that indeed it's that 5% chance. But because it's Bears-Packers on Friday, both 670 The Score and 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee, both stations, they're the full lineups, we're going to be live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha. It's going to be Mully and Haw at 5 a.m. And then we are going to be there, then Lawrence Holmes, then McNeil and Parkins until 6. So head up to the Brat Stop, hang out, eat brats and cheese and have beer.
Or down to the Brat Stop. If you're locked behind the other side of the border
and
listening to us
on a
Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, this is what you do. You head around, you get yourself involved, you come out to the broadcast. We're all going to be there. It's going to be a good time.
There really are few restaurants that are easier access than that Cloverleaf of 50 and 94.
It's one turn.
turns.
It's one turn.
It's go it's, and turn.
It's huge parking lot. It's one turn, and then there's an actual bear in there. I think they still have like a noose around its neck.
If I remember correctly,
the actual taxidermed bear had like a Singletary jersey.
And yeah, that sounds
right.
I
think it was being rudely treated.
That sounds
last time I was there. But you stop by to see the broadcast, win prizes, and much more. It's presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. I am a fan of the Bratstop Garlic Brat.
I don't know that I've ever had the garlic brat.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get the Bratstop Sampler Platter.
I am fine with that.
And that's what I did with the kids years ago, because we did a little Lake Geneva trip, and I said, kids, we have to be initiated.
Yeah.
We're doing the Bratstop. And then after the Bratstop, we're going over to the cheese store side,
yeah,
and we're getting cheese and deer sausage for the road.
Perfect.
Land Jaegers or whatever, we got to do that.
Boy, that's going to make it a smelly car ride, but that's how you do it.
Now, here's what we did. What I used to do when the kids were little, we would get one. We'd stop there. Sometimes on the way back, we'd find a little out-of-the-way place. And there was a big deer sausage. It was almost like it was like a thickly wrapped torpedo.
Yeah, okay.
And we passed it around and took bites out of it, and like kept unwrapping it as we went, like peeling the wax paper away. And so it's a
deer sausage doobie.
And I always said, God, Mom would never let us do something like this. And by the time we got out, everybody's hands and face all smelled like
awful.
Garlic and,
just terrible.
And pepper, just the best. So do come join us. It's really going to be a fun day. And now we don't have to pretend as much that it matters. The Bears are 7-6. And now when you see them in the hunt, mm-hmm, on the graphic, they're kind of in the hunt-ish.
No, they are. They're kind of in the hunt-ish.
Right?
I do think, though, and this text has come up a couple of different times, easy. I do think this text has come up a couple of times, and I think it's worth pointing out. Like, the performance from Mitch these last 2 weeks, and let's just take the last two, although I think it's fair to say that he's played a lot better over the last four games than over a really, really tough stretch for the Bears where they were losing four in a row. He has beaten a very bad Lions offense that insisted on playing a lot of man coverage, which is something he's proven to excel at. He then beat a Cowboys defense, a very good Cowboys defense. And stop texting and saying he beat the Cowboys and they're not very good. They were ranked 6th, 7th in the NFL in terms of defense. I know that they didn't have Leighton Vander Esch, and I know the cornerbacks don't take the ball away that often, but they did get a pick. They have played really well. That's the best defense he's beaten all year long, or at least it's the best he's performed against a really good defense. The next test, Green Bay's defense, is one that has it's like a MIG with Cougar, man. I mean, it really screwed him up, you know? I mean, those defenses, it's a mix around. They put people in different spots. They give you looks and show you something different each and every time out. That is tough. That's your next good test for him. You know, if the arrow is truly trending in the right direction, if it's pointed up and he's playing with confidence, does his ability to scramble and move, make throws on the run, does then that overcome a defense that is trying to give him as many looks to screw him up as possible? Because that's what you're going to see against Green Bay.
But you know what? The Bears can come off a performance and say, we're going to run what we run. Like, first time in a long time. That they can actually say it and mean it, and we can believe them if they want to act instead of react.
It also, if that's true, it better still involve David Montgomery the way it did last night.
Hope he's healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Jeff in Bolingbrook is on the score on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I felt that was Mitch's best game of his career, even better than that Tampa game when he was hitting wide open guys by 20 yards. I thought the game finally, for once, slowed down for him, and he looked like Patrick Mahomes, honestly. And to your point, Connor, earlier when you said how he's been throwing a couple of games in a row where he's bounced back from really bad interceptions, mm-hmm, and it's like, I see that, and I couldn't agree more. And it fills me with joy, actually, because there were so many times, like during the Cutler era, where you see that interception and you're just like, oh God, here comes another one of those days.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't really experienced any of those with Mitch. And he's showing that he's a winner, and I like it, and I'm excited, and we'll see. This is our Super Bowl coming up next week.
Right.
I don't think we're making the playoffs, and we'll see how they do. at Green Bay.
Yeah, the playoffs.
Go Bears!
They're in the playoffs right now. They're in their own little playoffs. Their own personal Jesus. This is their playoffs. So enjoy it.
Yeah.
And play it like that.
They lose, they're out. I mean, that's juice. They've got a couple injuries now on the defensive side. We haven't gotten to this, but we'll talk with Patrick Manley in just a couple and see exactly what injuries to Prince Amukamara and Roquan Smith. And I mean, the list is long and uncomfortable. But Patrick Manley is anything but. He is Mr. 100. He is here for us on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday. He's next. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.